The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
What is up, peeps? Welcome to episode 155 of the Fretzelmania podcast. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz. This week, I am reviewing WrestleMania 40 that took place this past weekend in Philadelphia. And what a show it was, folks. We may have finally found a WrestleMania that could equal or be maybe even greater than X7, which could be the greatest wrestling pay-per-view, not only WrestleMania, of all time. This may have surpassed it. I mean, this might be total recency bias speaking, but every story that was told here, every match that delivered, and I don't think there was a bad one in the bunch. Everyone I thought who should be on Mania was on the card. And we saw someone finish his story and start a completely new chapter. Before I get into the rigors of this show, I just want to give a quick shout out to Josh Barnett's Bloodsport that took place, I believe, last Thursday, it may have been. WrestleMania weekend is always chock full of a bunch of indie shows. I haven't gotten to Joey Janela's Spring Break yet, which I like to watch every year because there's always something unusual and fun on there, like the Clusterfuck Battle Royal. It's so crazy, yet I love it. And apparently it was won by Microman. This I gotta see. Bloodsport. Picture it being Raw Underground, but good. Now, y'all know I loved me some Raw Underground. I thought it should have went longer. I thought it had potential, but they take out the ropes and they basically shoot fight. So Trips decided to loan a couple of talents there for their show, including Charlie Dempsey, you know, the son of William Regal, and Shayna Baszler. Had a match with Masha Slamovich, which, yes, please. It was won by Shayna by referee stoppage due to stomps. Just she was stomping a mud hole in her ass and walking it dry. I have never seen anything like that before. And props to them. I hope we see this, Shayna, on the main roster in the future. This is the Baszler we should have had leading up to WrestleMania 36 or whatever the... It was the COVID Mania that had Becky versus Shayna, right? Yeah, that was a good one. We had Speedball Mike Bailey versus Nick Nemeth in another great match. I haven't watched all of it quite yet, but man, it was something special. And speaking of something special, Saturday morning, starting at 11:30 p.m. EST, we had NXT TakeOver, NXT Stand and Deliver, which is their new WrestleMania weekend tradition. I kind of like that it takes place in the morning, early afternoon. That way you get a bit of a lull in the afternoon to do what I did, went for a walk, got my snacks for WrestleMania Night 1 ready. And we went from there. I mean, we had Joe Gacy, Philadelphia's own Joe Gacy, having a fun match with Sean Spears in the pre-show. We had three lads bumping meat over the NXT North American title with champion Obafemi retaining against Josh Briggs and Dijak. Apparently, Briggs suffered some cracked ribs in this match, so he'll be out of action for a little while. And I thought, we are getting close to like evolve Josh Briggs. And if we get there, just watch out NXT. I've only seen bits and pieces of his evolve run, but from what I've seen, that dude was booked like a beast. He was just beating people left and right. He had a great feud with Austin Theory over that title. The Wolf Dogs, they successfully retained their tag championships against Axiom and Nathan Fraser. However, on NXT TV last night, Axiom and Fraser upset the Wolf Dogs to become the new tag team champions. So now we got Breaker coming up to SmackDown full time, finally getting his main roster run. And I think in the near future, or even at WrestleMania next year, we will see him contending for a major championship. I'm going to call that here. That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler, right? Speaking of which, congratulations to Paul Heyman for his Hall of Fame induction. That was a fantastic Hall of Fame class. I'll get to that in a second. We also had a really good six-woman tag match with Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan, and Taya Hale, accompanied by Chase Yu. They defeated Izzy Dame, JC Jane, and Kiana James, accompanied by Jasmine Nix. Great six-woman tag match. I mean, this was giving Taya Hale that boost and that measure of revenge that she's been seeking against JC Jane, who has been both saving Chase Yu and then also just planting the seeds of doubt and corruption in the university. And it was revealed after this that Andre Chase had placed a wager on Taya Hale in her, I think it was her title match earlier in the year against whomever the champ, I think it was Tiffany Stratton. It was against her and they lost. And as a result, the university kind of went under. JC Jane, you know, basically buys it back from the Don, actually, from Tony D'Angelo. Just that storyline had me hooked all year, and now it's still not over. I'm game. Roxanne Perez regained her women's championship against Lyra Valkyria. I thought Roxy was coming up to the main roster. She had an appearance on Monday Night Raw defeating, who was it now? Indy Hartwell. I can't remember the names of some of these talents. Just it's a struggle. And I'm also turning 40 soon, folks, so that might have a bit to do with it. We had Ilya Dragunov retaining the NXT championship in a really fun competitive match against Tony D'Angelo. Tony got some of his licks in. He almost won a couple of times, but no, it was to no use. And the main event, whoop that trick he did, defeating Carmelo Hayes in the first ever main evented by two African-Americans match in NXT history. That's rad. That's really cool. I love it. You know, Trick, I think he's trying to find himself back in the championship picture, challenging Ilya Dragunov, man, say those five times fast, at Spring Break-In in a couple of weeks. However, he is not done with Melo. Melo don't miss. And next week on NXT, they're going to blow off their feud by having a cage match. And I think this will also send Carmelo to the main roster. There's dirty dirt sheet rumors that even Trick could be coming up to main in the future. And I think that's bold. I mean, he's over as Rover. I mean, the dude whooped that Trick chance everywhere. I've heard whoop that Trick chance on Bloody SmackDown for Pete's sake. Just this guy's got it in the charisma. He's got talent. I think he could benefit from having more seasoning in NXT. I don't want his call-up to be too soon. This could be like a Ty Dillinger situation where you're so over and you're called up so soon, and then what? Plus, Trick having a run with the world title, I think, would be a banger on SmackDown. Not going to lie, straight up. The Hall of Fame class, you know, I watched that Friday night. Paul Heyman's speech was an all-timer. once he got the trench coat and the hat and the headset and the cell phone that he said he broke over Sting's head in 1992, oh, I knew he was going to cook. Like that line of, if you think ECW died in a bankruptcy court, you can suck my, well, you know, the rest of the things he said, just all-timer. Bull Nakano still looks great. I swear I heard her say something about wanting to wrestle again. So give me Bull Nakano versus Asuka, like tomorrow. I know tomorrow's a Thursday. TNA is Thursday nights, but yeah, just tape it and put it on. Please. We have Thunderbolt Patterson, a wrestler that I'm not familiar with. I actually never heard of him before this Hall of Fame class. And instead of putting himself over, he was putting Jesus over in his speech. And I thought that was cool. He's like, hey, love each other. Stop killing each other. Stop the race war. Yeah, I thought that was damn good. But the U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda, the uncle and father, respectively, of the late, great Bray Wyatt, Windham Rotunda. We had Bo Dallas and Bray's sister. Her name escapes me. They were on that Becoming Immortal documentary. My, ooh, that was an emotional roller coaster. That one, that was a tearjerker, straight up. Like, I'm not much of a crier, but that, yeah, that got some things welling up in my face. Just, it was beautiful. You know, the U.S. Express were at the first WrestleMania 39 years ago. Holy Lord, that long ago. They wrestled the team of Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik. I think they lost the titles at that show, if I'm not mistaken. Because Sheiky Baby, you had Buddy with the cane. Man, why can't I remember anyone's names today? Freddie Blassie had his bloody cane out. You want that cane, you pencil neck geek. You know, who am I? I'm forgetting someone. Leah Maivia, you know, the grandmother of The Rock, the first female promoter in wrestling. And if you are throwing the nepotism line with this induction, because The Rock is on the board, first off, how dare you? Second, do your research. Look up Leah Maivia, major promoter in Hawaii. A veritable who's who in the world of wrestling has worked with Leah Maivia and that family. Historic. Am I forgetting? Muhammad Ali, another posthumous induction in here by his wife, one of his wives. Was he remarried or did he have a thing? Anyways, yeah, the Rock took a championship belt that was called the People's Championship. It was a fucking Brahma Bull title from No Mercy. Like the Brahma Bull title, that's like something you can create in every wrestling game since No Mercy. It was still nice. It gave The Rock a prop to wear to WrestleMania, but still, you know what? It was a great Hall of Fame class. Great speeches. Just, it was nice. WrestleMania Night 1 kicked off with Triple H welcoming fans to the event, to a new era that we are in right now. Just very good. It's the first WrestleMania without Vince McMahon. There will be a McMahon Night 2. It's not who you think. Linda, the ex-wife of Redacted McMahon, was also in attendance at the show, apparently. But again, this is a new beginning, a new era. Night 1 kicked off with Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch, the winner of the Elimination Chamber match in Australia just last month. It was 2 months ago now. Good Lord. Time's flying. But we had special entrances by both of them. Becky coming out with excerpts of her book in her attire and excerpts being talked about throughout the entrance. She was apparently fighting a fever of like 102 degrees Fahrenheit or more like 38 something in the correct temperature measurement. Rhea apparently had a massive panic attack backstage before she went through, and she powered through it and said, hey, if you're not, basically, if you're not having a panic attack, you don't have the passion or something like that. Like, okay, that's a bold thing. But this match, we had just back and forth potatoes being thrown, back and forth fantastic bumps. I'm going through the wiki and a little bit of Bleacher Report for my results for some of the spots and also for giving you some of my thoughts here. Becky Lynch scored the first major takedown with a flying dropkick. You know, we had the disarmer getting locked in and a lot of attention being paid to the arm because Ripley had hers in a cast until Friday, you know, but a lot of arm-based offense wasn't enough. We had the disarm her, but then Becky managed to reverse that into a sit-out powerbomb. We got a manhandle slam for a near fall. We got a riptide for a near fall. We had more arm-based offense by the man, but still, it was not enough. Finally, Becky was going for the Brett's rope manhandle slam, but Ripley then hit a buckle bomb version of the riptide and a second riptide in the middle of the ring, score the win, and to retain her title. Mammy is still on top. Next up, we had the six-pack challenge, a 12-person ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships with the Judgment Day defending against DIY, The New Day, Awesome Truth, A-Town Down Under, and the New Patch Republic. And this match was booked as a kind of a 2 out of 3 fall situation here, where each belt was on the line and the match does not end until both sets are brought down. This was considered and now pretty much confirmed to be finally the splitting of the tag team championships. Now, I am in favor of this. And I was on the Discord with Mr. YLP, Zach, and Nate. And if you heard last week's show through the audio issues, I'm sorry, Zach was kind of against it. He likes a floating division. But I do like the idea of both shows having it because you can also get a good showcase for certain other acts on there. Because we have the LWO hanging around. We got Legado del Fantasma. We got Pretty Deadly. Yes Boy, who did an amazing promo going through the participants in this match and doing the skits, you know, making fun of them in their unique individual way. Give these boys a run, Yes Boy. And this was your classic car crash cluster F match. We had people getting slammed on and through ladders. We had one really cool spot with Tyler Bate and Finn Balor and a ladder with an airplane spin. That was an impressive show of strength by the Big Strong Boy. Just mwah, chef's kiss, magnifique. At one point, R-Truth went for a hot tag. The Miz just looks at him, says, okay, tags him in anyways. Five Moves of Doom, attitude adjustment by his childhood hero, John Cena. Yes, he's 5 years older than John Cena. That's the joke. And Balor pinned, no, R-Truth pinned Balor for a visual three count. Truth celebrates, thinking it was over, but The Miz informed him that they had to pull the belts down. And then Truth suggested that Gargano and Ciampa go for the Raw titles while he and The Miz go after the SmackDown titles. However, they were knocked down by Theory and Waller, who then climbed the ladder, retrieve the SmackDown tag titles, one title down. Eventually in this match, a Judgment Day member, JD McDonagh, interfered. But then, in proper JD McDonagh fashion, he dies. Because the New Day tipped over the ladder that JD was on, causing him to crash and burn through the tables on the outside, a la Jeff Hardy. In the end, R-Truth performed another AA on Priest that sent him over the top rope to the floor. Truth climbed the ladder, retrieved the Raw tag titles to end the reign of the Judgment Day, split the titles, and give him his first WrestleMania victory. On top of that, he is now the one half and one of the oldest Raw tag team champions in the title's history. Man, I love this match. I love that the titles are now split. And we can see, I think it helps gain exposure for other teams. And we get other feuds going on in there. Our next match, we had Rey Mysterio and Andrade. It was supposed to be Dragon Lee, but they pulled the bait and switch. And got an injury angle for Dragon Lee on SmackDown. Andrade was branded the newest member of the LWO. He had a reunion with Zelina Vega. That just warmed the cockles of my heart. It was so nice. And I'm like, if we get classic Andrade and Zelina, oh, yes, yes, please. So we had Rey Mysterio and Andrade, who were accompanied by Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, and Zelina. They faced the team of Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio, accompanied by Angel Garza, Humberto Curtio, and Electra Lopez. And this match was, of course, was just crazy lucha things and wackety schmackety springboards and whatnot, and just friggin'. Which one is it? Is it Cruz or is it Joaquin that does that really cool slingshot deal to the outside? Well, one of the LWO guys, I think the one that used to be Zema Ion, has that bit where they hold the ropes and you can just do a slingshot crossbody bit. Dirty Dominic, kind of strange that he is getting into some LWO Legado business while also being a member of the Judgment Day, and the Judgment Day has been calling him out on this. I think this is planting seeds of dissension and even the splitting of Judgment Day, which kind of breaks my heart because I'm not wearing my Judgment Day t-shirt today. I got my Bullet Club Gold on for life. They've just been great, and Dominic's been thriving in this heel run. Like last year at WrestleMania against his dad, he came out in that prison bit that also accidentally showed footage from, well, if you know, you know. Finally, in the match, we had Andrade taking out Dominic, and Rey pinned Escobar, which I thought was an interesting tidbit here. I think maybe we're saving the ultimate Rey Dominic match for down the line. At some point, you know, Legado tried to get involved and try to get up in their business, but these two enormous masked men attacked them and revealed themselves to be Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson from the Philadelphia Eagles. The recently retired Jason Kelce, my favorite Chiefs fan from the playoffs this year, from that infamous meme in the Buffalo Bills game. Good shit, pal. Good shit. Our fourth match was the third ever brother versus brother match at WrestleMania. Fourth, Taker and Kane. Okay, not kayfabe, brother. Kayfabe. Yes, the third ever brother versus brother match at Mania after Bret and Owen at WrestleMania 10, the greatest opener of all time, and Jeff Hardy versus Matt Hardy at 25, which wasn't that good. But during this match here, Jay and Jimmy would create multiple super kicks against each other, having a bigger super kick party than the Young Bucks ever could. And at one point, Jay was on top. He was getting all the momentum. As Jay was about to perform another super kick, Jimmy apologized, got down on the knee, and offered a handshake to Jay. Jay, you idiot, took the bait. He ate a super kick and frog splash by brother Jimmy. But finally, main event, Jey Uso, yeeted brother Jimmy in the face and then got the frog splash of his own. He got a spear and an Uso splash. I guess we got Jimmy doing the frog and Jey doing the Uso splash. Okay, there's a difference here. Wiki was all over the place, or I was all over the place. Yeah, and Lil Wayne wrapping Jey to the ring. Yeah, that was, I loved that bit. This was a pretty darn good match. A lot of people were hating on it as like, oh, it was perfect. I mean, these guys have been wrestling each other like in the living room since they were in diapers, for frig's sakes. And that promo beforehand where they gave like their full shoot Samoan names and went through their history and like, I am my brother's keeper. And finally, as they go throughout their history at the end, pulling the Cain and Abel line, I am not my brother's keeper. Oh, that stabbed me right in the heart. I mean, I have one brother, right? And, you know, I love him dearly. I work for him. I see him every day. And these feuds, I mean, they just put a knife in my chest. They're like, ow. Ow. Next up, making her WrestleMania and in-ring debut, other than the Royal Rumble, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi faced off against Damage Control's Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Six-woman tag. This match, a lot of people are thinking, oh, filler, blah-blah-blah. No, this was your get Jade Cargill over, get her exposure, and strap the rocket to her. I mean, we had Asuka accidentally spraying Sane in the face with the blue mist. To quote the Bluths, I'm afraid I blew myself. Giggity. This allowed Bianca to whip Asuka with the ponytail, followed up with the KOD, followed up with the Jaded on Dakota, and the babyfaces win this fairly quick match. But I mean, you got three, you know, African-American talents getting put over at WrestleMania. I thought that was really cool. Penultimate match of night one might be my match of the weekend, had it not been for main event of night two. I think that might steal the show. But we had Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn. Now, this match has been built around Sami Zayn's doubt and fear. Fear that he's going to let his fans and his family down again. We all saw Montreal Elimination Chamber last year. Sami coming up just short against the Tribal Chief for the WWE Championship. He doesn't want that disappointment again. So Chad Gable has been his Mickey. As this is Rocky IV or Rocky II, whatever. This is a Rocky movie. I'm going to say it's more like Rocky IV because of the, for lack of a better term, foreign heel, if you will. And I thought this was going to lead to a turn by Chad Gable, but I have a feeling that's coming later and in a different fashion. So on his way to the ring, Sammy bumps into his wife and his young son. And his son's like, hey, your song's playing soon. And telling his wife to, you know, have the kid back there to watch it on TV. I have a feeling he was with Uncle Kevin Owens, who was also waiting for him at Gorilla, just, you know, chopping him and slapping him and hugging him, like, go out there, go do it, go win, just screaming inspiration to him. And my Lord, this match was an emotional roller coaster, much like a match we're going to see later. Just, it was perfect. I mean, we had every near fall. We had Sami Zayn kept getting up. Gunther would hit you know, he would lock in a sleeper hold. He would get a shotgun dropkick. He would hit powerbomb after powerbomb after powerbomb, splash after splash after splash. But Sami Zayn would not quit. Yeah, near the end, Gunther was yelling at his wife, Sammy's wife, for some reason. And then I had a feeling Jenny was going to walk the ramp, grab the big man by the ear, and tell him to smarten the hell up. Finally, Gunther was going up for the final splash, which was going to be the end. But Sammy, he gets up. He haluva kicks Gunther while he is on the turnbuckle. And then he pulls out a move I have never seen him do in the WWE. I haven't seen this move since Steen versus Generico at Final Battle 2011 or 12, whatever year that was. And that was the Generico special, the top rope brain buster. And the commentary team, I mean, Corey Graves, Pat McAfee, Michael Cole, no better team to call WrestleMania than those three. That was phenomenal job by those three. Samantha Irvin on ring announcing too. GOAT. Better than Fink. God rest his soul, but better than Fink. Everything. Sami Zayn gets like two haluva kicks, and he ends the historic 666-day reign of Der Ring-General Gunther. His intercontinental run is over. Now, back to Chad Gable. Chad said that to Sammy, that you owe him a favor. That he does. So next week, Raw's in Montreal, hometown of Sami Zayn. And he had an interview later. It's like, I hope I make Montreal weep. So this is where I think we could see the turn of Chad. Or he comes up short. And then, he attacks Sami Zayn, leading to a title program at Backlash, which is in France. So Sami Zayn is the new Intercontinental Champion. And I would not have picked him to end Gunther's title reign. I would not have picked him in a million years, but I am over the moon. I am extremely happy to have him as a champion for the fourth time. Sammy is the Intercontinental Champion. And yes, this is my Canadian bias showing. I'm glad it was him because, well, to quote him on Raw leading up to it, it just means more. Or was that Chad? No, that was Chad. Anyways, phenomenal match. And in the main of night one, we had the Bloodlines, Roman Reigns, the WWE Champion, and the final boss, The Rock, accompanied by Hall of Famer Paul Heyman, facing Cody Rhodes and World Heavyweight Champion Seth freaking Rollins. Now, of course, this match, it was, as if the babyfaces win, the Bloodline is barred from ringside. However, if the Bloodline wins, it's going to be Bloodline rules, which is basically no rules. And every member of the Bloodline can come and go as they please. Early on in the match, The Rock performed a low blow on Rollins, and Chad Patton was about to ring the bell, but The Rock was like, "You ring that bell, you're fucking fired," says the final boss, who was also on the board of TKO. And this match was a walk and brawl. It was all over the place. We had The Rock applying the sharpshooter. We had a near fall for a sunset flip. Rhodes hitting a sloppy Cody cutter. Rollins hitting up a frog splash. We had the crossroads. We had The Rock going for the people's elbow, but then Rhodes countered it with a Cody cutter. Reigns attempted the spear on Rhodes, but The Rock was pushed into the way, and Roman Reigns accidentally spears The Rock. Seed planted for a future feud. And then as a result, the Bloodline ate dual pedigrees by Cody and Seth. Okay, I see you. Go smash a throne wire at it. Okay. Finally, back in the ring. They were going for the triple crossroads bit here, but The Rock denied it and whipped Cody with the weight belt, causing Reigns to perform the spear on Rhodes. Reigns tags in The Rock, who performs the people's elbow on Cody to win this match, making the main event of night two Bloodline Rules. This match was the second longest Mania match in history, of course, being second to the Iron Man match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. This match clocked in at just over 44 minutes. A great way to end night one, which gave us so much more intrigue for night two, giving Cody even more insurmountable odds to stack up against him for night two. Speaking of night two, it kicked off with, of all people, Stephanie McMahon. Now, y'all know that she was allegedly named as, I guess, a executive who knew something about Vince and Janelle Grant and whatnot. And, I mean, she wouldn't be there if, you know, she did something. Maybe there was some stuff in the court, some private stuff that was worked out. And, you know, that's the same deal with Brock Lesnar. He's not gone from the company. He's just at home being Brock. Maybe he was kept away because his name was brought up. Stephanie's was as... I'm not getting into this, folks. I mean, I'll say this, that she wouldn't be there if she actually did something, or there was, you know, yeah, if there was smoke to that fire. But she was there giving us a great rendition of her husband's Are You Ready? And getting the crowd all hyped up. Our first match, Seth freaking Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre, the winner of the Men's Elimination Chamber match in Perth. CM Punk was on commentary during this match. You know, Punk was also on the pre-show panel with Big E and Booker T during both nights of WrestleMania's pre-show. And I thought they were fine. I had them on in the background while I was smoking my wings and getting the pretzels ready and getting the dip and the snacks and all the good stuff. And I thought we were going to get a Sheamus Daniel Bryan situation here, because immediately McIntyre gets the Claymore kick on Rollins for a near fall. Outside of the ring, McIntyre's family, his girlfriend and one of his brothers or something were there. And McIntyre stopped and just tweeted out, "Bored at work, LOL," in the middle of the match. Just McIntyre's heel persona as of late. Hydrate, kids. Money. Phenomenal stuff. Loved it. After this, Rollins got a pedigree for a near fall, and he beat the count. But they went back into the ring, and Rollins immediately gets a stomp for a near fall. McIntyre is got his attention on CM Punk and mocked him by signaling for Punk's finisher, the go to sleep. Mind games. But Rollins countered that into an inside cradle for a near fall. McIntyre hit yet another Claymore for a near fall. And then Rollins kicked out of another Claymore. Drew hits another one. I think this is, what, five or six Claymores? This was like Brock versus Drew from a few years ago. Finally, the last Claymore is the nail in Seth Rollins' coffin. And Drew is the new World Heavyweight Champion, finally getting his title win in front of a crowd. He's a former two-time WWE champion, and one took place in the empty PC, and the other took place in the Thunderdome, and that don't count. I was in the Thunderdome about a half dozen times, and it was great, but not the same. And all Drew had to do was leave, and he'd be fine. He'd be the champ today. However, he went down to the ringside. He went down to the commentary table and got in CM Punk's face. He mocked him. He stood up on the commentary desk and gave CM Punk the old suck it. Gave him the old crotch chop. But Punk stood up, sweeped his legs, took his cast off of his arm, and plowed Drew with it, allowing A, CM Punk to do the Judgment Day theme meme, if you know, you know. Damian Priest bolts down to ringside, cashes in on McIntyre, south of heaven, and Damian Priest walks out of WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion, winning it for his first time and the first Puerto Rican WWE champion since Pedro Morales in the 70s. Also, this was the second person to cash in at Mania, ironically after Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31. Next up here, we got a Philly street fight with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits going up against Final Testament's Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain. And Corey Graves, bit of a flub here, said this was Paul Ellering's first WrestleMania. He was at WrestleMania 8, and the LOD just did a promo because they were in the doghouse, to say the least. This was a Philly street fight. WWE Hall of Famer and rapper Snoop Dogg had commentary during this match. Just, oh my goodness, just put Snoop Dogg on commentary more, because he was funny. I couldn't really hear him too much because I was paying attention to Nate and Zach in the Discord. We had Bubba Ray Dudley as the special guest referee. And this was just a ECW match. I mean, Karrion Kross had the ECW t-shirt. There was a bunch of near falls. There was a table that broke the second that someone got put on it. RIP Matthew Gregg's mentions. That'll be on Botchamania, like, immediately. Finally, Karrion Kross bickered with Bubba and shoved him, but Bubba then pulled out his old Dudley Boys glasses. And he even signaled for the baby faces here to get the tables, conspicuous by Devon's absence. Ford grabbed Dawkins and set up a table in the ring, and that's when Kross just flubbed through the table, and they went and got another one. Frog splash through the table. Lashley pins Kross to win this match. I mean, it was fun. It was what it was. I mean, I enjoyed this match. It could have been left off the card, but also you got some people here that wouldn't have got on the WrestleMania card, got their payday. I'm okay with that. And our next match, we had AJ Styles versus LA Knight. Yeah. And this was better than I thought it would be. Everyone, including myself, thought this would just be basic and then give LA Knight his win. But this is AJ friggin' Styles that you're working with. And AJ Styles ain't going to half-ass anything, especially at WrestleMania. I mean, look at his WrestleMania resume that I can remember off the top of my head. I mean, we had Randy Orton, we had Shane McMahon, we had Chris Jericho. I mean, one of those things is not like the other, but Shane McMahon delivers when he's not tearing his quad trying to do a leapfrog. Who else is AJ Styles? Yeah, I forget who else Styles has had at Mania, but the dude Undertaker friggin' Boneyard match. I mean, he ain't no slouch, and he came out to a new theme that I didn't really hear that well. I'm going to have to go back onto YouTube and find it. But this was to give LA Knight his marquee win, his first WrestleMania, and that's what it did. We had a phenomenal forearm attempt on Knight, who countered it into a BFT. And there we go. Strap the rocket to the man. Next up, Logan Paul, who was accompanied by a walking Prime Energy drink mascot, coming down to the ring in a big old Jeep with a big ass crime cannon attached to it. Overcompensating? Maybe. He defended his U.S. title against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Kevin was driving just one of the ring trucks to the ring. And it had like a, it looked like it had one of those handles on it, which was a big callback to the moving ring cart things that were at WrestleMania 3 and 6 respectively, because the ramp was so fucking long. Kevin decides to politely give Randy a lift to the ring. Ain't that nice? And this was your beat up Logan Paul match of the night. I mean, they were double teaming him every chance they could get. And then as Orton and Owens attempted to pin Logan, both men then traded punches on each other. This gave Logan opportunity to roll to the outside. Owens attempted a stunner on Orton, only for Randy to later counter into the RKO for a near fall. Logan Paul hit Randy with the brass knucks for a near fall, and Orton then decided to dig up his old heel move. A move I don't think we've seen since. Wait, he did it to Edge, didn't he? He did it to Edge or Beth Phoenix? Yeah, the punt. He decided to go for a punt, but the mascot pulled Paul to the outside of the ring, and it revealed to be not KSI, but iShow Speed. He looked like KSI. Anyways, some other YouTuber who I'm never heard of, and I'm not even going to bother looking up. If he's associated with Logan Paul, then, well, that's all I need to know. Orton then barked and performed the RKO on Speed through the announce table on the outside. Back in the ring, Orton countered Owens' pop-up powerbomb into the RKO. But Logan threw Orton out of the ring, hit the frog splash on KO to retain the title. Now everyone was calling for Logan to lose. Not I. I thought this was not the spot for Logan to lose it yet. SummerSlam is going to be in Cleveland, Ohio, and that is where Logan Paul was born. So you could build something around him there, and maybe that's where you drop it. I mean, he's still going to get cheered because it's his hometown, but also he's going to get booed because, I mean, it's Logan Paul. And yeah, that's it. This was a really fun match. It was better than it had every right to be, but it's Logan Paul. I mean, this guy, he gets it. He is good at this wrestling thing. He is good at this persona thing. Maybe this persona is a little bit real, but the dude, you gotta put respect on his name. Put respect on Logan Paul's name. Forget what he did in the past. It's in the past. And did he apologize for it? Yes. Let it go. Okay? Let it go. I honestly thought it was going to be Jake Paul in the giant Prime bottle. I want that WrestleMania Prime flavor, by the way. I got some ice pop right here that I haven't opened yet because I just drank my Diet Pepsi, and I'm not about to do two of those drinks at once. Maybe I'll save this Prime for tomorrow. Penultimate match of the night. Io Sky defending the WWE Women's Championship against Royal Rumble winner Bayley. You know, both getting really badass entrances here. Bayley getting kind of a Egyptian goddess kind of bit. And I joked online that these people that were carrying Bayley were the boys. The recently released Dalton Castle stablemates. And someone actually tweeted them and said, "Oh my God, congratulations, the boys." I'm just like, guys, this was a joke. I wasn't being serious. Is there a sarcasm emoji? Someone please show me what it could be. Io Sky's entrance, like her Titantron and her theme here was, forgive me for being stereotypical, but it was right out of an anime. It gave me that kind of vibe. Like a, maybe a, not steampunk, like a future. It reminded me of cyberpunk a little bit. And then you pull in a little bit of an anime twist on there. And these two showed the world straight up. Fantastic match here. I don't have all of the move by move breakdowns. I didn't take no notes because, again, I'm on Discord and we're watching this. You know, Io Sky applies the STF and tries to transition into a crossface. Bailey escapes and pulls out the old Bailey to belly on Io for a near fall. Sky hits an over the moonsault, but Bailey kicks out. Goes with a Macho Man elbow. Yeah. Bailey then hits a rose plant. I think it took two rose plants, although the second one looked a lot more like a snapmare driver for the win. And Bailey finally not only gets a singles match at WrestleMania, but a singles title win. Every other year, I think she's been in multi-woman matches, or she's been injured, or not on the card at all when she was the host of the show. Ding dong, hello. Finally. And the build up to WrestleMania, even with the press conferences, there's not been much Bailey in that, but now that she's the champion, undeniable. Put some respect on Bailey's name. And this is her time to shine. I was expecting the Bailey buddies to pop up here, but I mean, she destroyed them after she snapped before becoming Ding Dong Hello Bailey in like 2020. So yeah, as cool as that would have been, nah. And finally, the main events. We got the Royal Rumble winner, Cody Rhodes, going up against the undisputed WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns in a Bloodline Rules match. And of course, Bloodline Rules means no rules. So we knew that the Bloodline was going to get involved here, but it took about 15, 20 minutes of action before we got that. You know, Cody Rhodes decided to immediately go for a table, much to the fans' delight, but then immediately Roman Reigns hits a drive-by on Cody. It's like, nuh-uh, we're not going here yet. No. So we get Roman hitting a back suplex and a fisherman suplex on Rhodes for near falls. Outside of the ring, Reigns hits a low blow on Cody before powerbombing him through the announce table. They fight back in the ring where Cody was going for crossroads on Reigns, but he attempted his second. He was going for the triple bit, but Jimmy Uso attacks Cody, but then Jey Uso, yeet! He comes in, spears Jimmy off the stage. That's one member of the Bloodline down. Reigns applies the guillotine choke to hopefully go for the submission win, but Cody forces himself up, and they're out of the ring. Outside of the ring, Cody spears Roman through the barricade, much like the previous year's WrestleMania. And at some point, I think this was in some point in the ring in the match here, where they were stealing each other's finishers, because Roman Reigns also hit the crossroads on Cody for a near fall. And he's just like, yeah, that move sucks. Oh, disrespect. Just the level of pettiness by the tribal chief here is an admirable trait and something that I could hopefully model myself after. And then finally, like last year, we're going for the triple crossroads, and who should appear yet again, but Solo Sikoa comes in and hits the Samoan spike on Cody during the third attempt. However, after a Samoan spike spear combination by Sikoa and Reigns, Rhodes kicks out. And then finally, out comes John Cena, who's had his issues with the Bloodline. He had a match with Roman very early on in his title run. He had a match against Solo last year at Crown Jewel, and Sikoa destroyed him and jobbed him out. So we get an attitude adjustment onto Roman, and then an attitude adjustment through the table onto Solo. It's two members of the Bloodline down. And then out comes The Rock to confront John Cena. Thrice in a lifetime, baby. Let's go. We are here. And then, just like old times, Rock Bottom through Cena. That's one member of Cody's Avengers taken out. But then we heard Sierra Hotel India Echo Lima Delta Field. And my mind went, wait a minute, they are not getting John Moxley out of AEW in Shield gear for this match. Oh no, wait, it's Seth Rollins in Shield gear. This is going to play a big role in this bit. But before he can do anything, Seth Rollins has a chair and he is taken out by a Superman punch. So there's two members of Cody's Avengers taken out, at least for now. And then the final boss began to attack Rhodes with the belt. And of all things we heard at WrestleMania, it was the gong. Undertaker appears out from underneath the ring, chokeslams The Rock. That's three members of the Bloodline taken out. Okay, this is getting bonkers. This is Avengers Endgame level of booking. This is insane. It makes a lot of sense. I was going to say it doesn't make sense. Oh, no, it makes sense. I'll get to that. Man, I needed to hydrate there. Holy Lord. It was nothing but chaos. And this was your, sir, to your left moment. Reigns had the opportunity right here. Take out Cody with a chair. Laying on the opposite side of the ring to Cody with Seth Rollins in the Shield gear. This is the mind game moment. This is your Thanos snap moment. This is where you could finally get the Infinity Gauntlet out of the grasp of Thanos. But a sacrifice had to be made. Get one of the stones, much like Vision. Roman had the opportunity to end Cody's story. But instead, he decided to attack Seth Rollins with the chair as deliberate revenge for Rollins hitting Roman in the back with the chair during the Shield's breakup almost 10 years previous to this. This would prove to be his undoing, because Roman cannot let this go. This was the thing that would send him. I mean, yeah, Roman became the super face that everyone began to resent and hate, and finally come full circle, Nate take a shot, twist the knife, and he becomes the tribal chief. He couldn't let go of the past. Three crossroads later, Cody finishes the story. And Michael Cole, with the call of the year, as the three count was happening, we had, come on, Cody, finish the story. And the historic 1,316-day reign as Universal Champion ended. Cody Rhodes is the new champion. He finishes his story, and he's beginning a new chapter in a new book. Samantha Irvin, overcome by emotion, shaking in tears, her voice cracking while announcing the new champion. Wow. Like, we were quiet at that point in the Discord. I mean, I screamed when The Undertaker came out, and everyone's like, it should have been Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, yeah, Austin and The Rock have WrestleMania beef. They had three matches. 15, 17, 19. Basically every other year in the beginning and end of the Attitude Era and the start of the Ruthless Aggression Era. And Stone Cold won two of those matches. The Rock got his win back at 19 because that would serve to be Austin's retirement match. Like that night, he kind of knew he was going to be done. And that was a favor to The Rock to finally give The Rock that Mania win over Austin. Austin hasn't had any interaction with the Bloodline on TV. I mean, neither has The Undertaker. But there's a couple things. The Rock's been calling himself the final boss as of late. And no one can get more final boss energy than the dead man, than the conscience of the WWE. And also, you have two people in the ring there. Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. Two people who were in the matches that resulted in The Undertaker's only two WrestleMania losses with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. To me, that made sense. And plus, Austin was chilling at his ranch. I mean, if he didn't want to go to Philly, all power to him. Maybe they didn't even consider him. And The Undertaker, to me, that made it. That made sense, and I loved it. I loved that, and that WrestleMania right there, just phenomenal. I mean, everyone losing their minds over that ending. The Shield bit, fantastic mind games by Seth Rollins. You know, Seth Rollins giving his respect to Cody on the way out. You know, Seth gave his respect to Drew on his way out, and he made his way up the ramp. I mean, Becky opened night one, Seth opened night two. That's a great power couple bit there. Maybe they're just going to take a little bit of time and rest up. Seth Rollins needs to rest up. I mean, that dude was carrying that division and that title. He's been carrying Monday Night Raw. That's, yeah, damn good. Good shit, pal. Yep, that's straight up. That's just going to do it for this episode of WrestleMania. This might be the best WrestleMania I've watched. And I've watched just about every Mania live on pay-per-view from 15 on, with a couple there that I would have missed and watched later due to schedules and work and whatnot. Yeah, you can follow me on all the social medias at Fretzelmania, FRETZLEMania. This podcast is available on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, peeps. The cure for the common wrestling podcast. Next week, I'm finally getting back into the Attitude Era, and I am kicking it right back off with a very familiar episode of Monday Night Raw from 2000. That's right. We are getting into the Chris Jericho Phantom title reign. Follow Wrestle Addict Radio on the Twitter at @addict_wrestle, at Wrestle Addict Radio on Instagram. Listen to the rest of our shows. Nate the F and Greats, Brates for Impact, Mr. YLP's Young Lions Perspective, and the Kings of the Rings podcast, who I think are going to start streaming on Tuesday nights. So I will be watching a lot less of their live streams because Tuesday nights are fairly busy for myself, but I will do what I can. I'll cross that bridge when I get there. End of the month or early May, keep an eye open for Backlash 2000, which will be coming down the pipeline. I'm actually going to have to drop a message to my guest on that show in the next while. So until next time, folks, TTFN. Ta-ta for now, and keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.